I always ask the name, and I never hear the answer, and I never remember anyway. Both. You're not asking about your wife.
Let's have a case which was a slight adaption of last week to discuss the interesting side halacha. Like we have a case where somebody's renting an apartment and there's discovered a leak in one of the pipes after the meter. So the water goes through the meter and there's a leak in one of the pipes. Leaks, not a big leak, because still some water gets in, so quite an amount of water still gets through the pipes to the taps, the faucets. But there's a leak before it gets into the actual house after the meter. When it's discovered, a warning is given to fix it, not to use the water. The warning was handed over as well to the owner of the house, and the renter is asking the owner to fix it. That's his duty. And it doesn't get fixed. The water builds up, it causes damage. We read discuss that if it's not an immediate damage from the water that comes out, but it's a build up of water that comes out after use, then that can't be something which you can actually must hire anybody over there, because then that enters into the chiyuv of bar and not eish. Such a case. Because in order to the eish, it means you have to create it, and you didn't create it because all you did is turn on the faucet, the tap, water came, which basically releasing a barrier, and it's not the water which was released by your turning on which causes damage, it was the secondary water. Secondary water means you never created. That's the definition of secondary water. Water which came out from removing a barrier, opening up a dam, but it's secondary water that comes out, not the initial water, which is at the actual dam. We said you never actually created, you indirectly created it. One of the conditions of H is that you have to create the fire. It's not that you didn't create. But it can still be both. But Ba is Potter on Kaka and Kalim under those circumstances. But the question we now are going to analyze, are you Chayev B'day Shemayim for cases where your Ba damages Kaka or Kalim? You dig a Ba. Kalim fall into a Ba. Torah says you're not Chayev to pay. Because there is a Kosev. Are you chayv b'day shemayim to pay or not? If you are chayv b'day shemayim to pay, even although there's a release in the Torah called bar of the kelim, that's only released in Beis Din, but not in b'day shemayim kelim, who, over in our case, is chayv to be b'day shemayim to pay? Is it the owner of the water, or is the one who created the movement of the water? Because here in our case, we've got a situation, the house is owned by Reuven. He rents it out to Shimon. The water goes after the meterage. So now it certainly belongs to someone in that house, because it's gone after the meterage. But who? Does it belong to the owner or the renter? We said, well, it depends what it says in the contract. If the contract says that it belongs, that the renter only has to pay for the water he uses, well, the renter turns around and says, I use the water that comes into my sink, comes into my washing machine, it comes into my bath. That I use, that I have to pay. Water which comes in the pipe and drips down into someone's apartment downstairs, that's not something I used. So therefore, I did not take Kiyuvim the duty to pay for that, and therefore it's not my water. The water, it belongs to the owner of the house under those circumstances. If that's how the contract is written, that the renter has to pay for the use of the water that he uses, then in that circumstances, water that comes after the meter still belongs to the owner of the house, and his water, which is damaging somebody else's apartment, and he knows about it, and he doesn't fix it. Okay, he's released and based him because it's a bar, and bar's not chayv on kaka or kelim. But is he chayv b'dishamayim? So that's the question we're asking. Is a chiyuv b'dei shamayim for bar which damages karkin kelim? And in our case, who's going to have that chiyuv b'dei shamayim? The owner of the water, which is the actual one that is damaging, called the owner of the house, or the renter, because he's the one that actually made it move at the end of the day, even though it's secondary movement, but he's the one that actually made it move.
I mean, they're both technically for
technically they come under the sphere of bar, because he indirectly made it move, and therefore he's still considered a bar, not considered an H. But on the other hand, the owner knows about the leak in the pipe, and he's warned, and he's negligent in not fixing it. So it's his water, according to the contract, his water still, the owner, not the renter, which is damaging. So who's now chayav? Is there chiyuv b'dei shamayim? And who's got this chiyuv b'dei shamayim? The owner of the water, or the one who actually turned on the tap at the end of the day? So let's look at the first Maromokim, the Chazanish. Chazanish says a big shoulders to say such a chiddush. He says like this, Simon Beis, and he has Simon Beis in the first Maromokim. Eshet Ahochi, it's a chayav Torah at the Shalit. Upot to Badova min Advarim. If the Torah is machayev you when you make a bar to pay on certain things, but on certain things it says you're potter. Come on, like example, Tomon be'esh or kelim be'bar. The Torah says you dig a bar, you're chayev that damages that bar. But if it falls in its kelim, you're going to be potter. That's what the Torah says. Once the Torah spells out your potter, that means gam b'dei shamayim you potter. You're not even going to be chayev b'dei shamayim.
It's a huge Yiddish.
It's Ke'en, you see this elsewhere, similar things. If the Torah says something specifically and says it's mutter, because suddenly the Chazal, Rabbanon, have no power to make something which the Torah says is mutter osur. If the Torah says something specifically is absolutely mutter, there's a famous Yiddish of the Taz, something which the Torah says specifically is mutter, the Chazal Rabbanon can never make osur. If the Torah says it's mutter, we can't go against that. So the Chazanish is getting that Yiddish over here. Since the Torah said over here, you dig a hole, and Canaan suddenly falls in and damages, you're off the hook, which means you're off the hook in totally. It can't be the off the hook in basin, but still Chai B'dishoyim. Off the hook means off the hook. The bog that you create and it damages the karka. Water came out secondary movement, which is called a bog, not H. Damages karka, as we saw last week. Karka and kelim, your pots on the bog. Are you pots even b'dei shamayim? Says the Chazanishi, even pots are b'dei shamayim.
Even on gramas?
Not gramas, on bog.
Why not on gramas? That's also derived. A gramas is also derived.
But the Torah never says that gramas is your pots. There's no posuk in the Torah that says Gromer's potter. There's no posuk that says Gromer's chayim. That's why you're potter. But obviously, that's out from the posuk by bar. It says that falls in behema. So my it's kelim. It says behema ser to my kelim, and therefore the Torah is saying only a behema that falls in and not kelim the chayim. That's what how the posuk reads. So it's a very specific, so therefore we're not type of even b'dei shamayim.
Is the opposite of potter chayim and potter two opposites?
Yep. In the Torah's lotion, the way the Chazanish says something is potter, that means potter even b'dei shamayim. Rabbanon can say don't do it, or it's still awesome midra rabbanon or midra raisa even goes after the rechok kamocha, but not under the concept of. We're not saying it's allowed and chachilah you can plan and it's okay to do. We're still saying it's also because of after the rechol kamocha you're allowed to do that. But chiyuv b'dei shamayim is included in the p'tur of the posuk. Because what the Torah says, no money means no money even b'dei shamayim. If you want to do teshuvah on the rechol kamocha, you have to apply peace.
Chiyuv b'dei shamayim, then you're talking about money?
Yes. The Hebrew is not talking about you. You're okay for what you did. It's not saying that. The Birchas Shmuel argues on the Chazanish. Birchas Shmuel says like this.
Who's the Birchas Shmuel?
Birchas Shmuel is the Baruch Beth. His grandson was just lifted last week. Was the Shiva's old Ponovich.
Oh, that's his grandson?
Yes. Oh. Great grandson. And he learned from Baruch Ben, his grandson. Was just Nifter. So he was just Nifter. Of course, we're talking about, in the Shiva, we're talking about a Kiddush from his grandfather, Birkas Shmuel. It says like this. It says it can't be, you dig a bar, and you're saying you're Bidei Shammai, and you don't have to pay. It has to be that Basin had the power to write in the Pesach, we can't force you, but Bidei Shammayim, in Shammayim, you'll have to pay that money as far as Shammayim is concerned. It has to be. What's my proof? I got a proof from a Mishnah, the end of Bob Nitzir. Somebody has a wall close to, everyone has this, a division wall between him and his friend's garden, for Norfolk, and the wall falls down. Not a negligence, it falls down. And the neighbor says, well, okay, the wall fell down, now it's your wall, your stones, get rid of them. They're damaging my grounds. You know, all the time those stones remain there. They're damaging it. Before that, it says over there that you're mechuyev to remove them. You're mechuyev to remove those stones because they're damaging the land. They're your stones. Okay, you weren't negligent for the actual falling, but they're still your stones. They're damaging now by being there, his land. It's a bar which is damaging Taka, so therefore we can't actually machayev you to pay if you don't remove them. But you will machayev you in Beis Din to remove them. Kofin the Salika Vonim, Meginas Taveru. You have to remove them. But Afagabta Bar Potter Al Galim, even though a bar, which is what these stones are potter on damage to Taka, that's what the Torah says. You've got five Taka. Still, Beis Din can say you're not going to remove them. Bar Kochav, Mishum Te'ike Issa Lachachila. Must be that there's an Issa involved over here, otherwise Beis Din can't force you to do anything. Bar Kochav, Kofim Beis Din, the Sadikas Bar, Shlo Yazik and Sakata. You have to remove these stones in order they shouldn't damage the Taka. So it must be that with the Shemayim, you're mechuyev to pay as well. That's the assumption, the jump that he makes from the demonstration.
Yes? Circular reasoning, I don't hear.
Okay.
It doesn't say that here. Where does it say that he's chayev with the Shemayim?
Must be. No, that's, I left out the line before. You're chayev with the Shemayim for a bar, and this is his proof. I'm just bringing the proof that he's bringing. Yeah, so the Birkas Shmuel is saying, well, if Beis Din can mechayev you to remove your bar, which is damaging Taka, which the Torah says you're off the hook for, must be that a bar which you own that damages Taka is chayev b'dei shamayim. That's his reasoning.
I don't know. But one is continuing to damage. If you damage something, you're no longer damaging.
I'm the owner. If I say if you want to take the reason of the British law, it says if I'm off the hook in guts and even in the Shemaim, I just turn around to look. One of us, it's easy to remove the damage. Either you do it because it's in your garden, or I do it. Me? Why should I do it? I wasn't negligent before. It's a bar. Okay, it's a bar. That's it. It's damaging you. Get rid of it. Alan Nizik, the half assessment. You're getting damaged. So do it. Get rid of it. Pick up the stones and move them. Me? I'm not chayvim b'dei shamayim. Why should I have to take off a day and remove the stones? You're getting damaged. Bothers you? Move it. And am I from the fact that the Mishnah says, no, you have to take the day off, because your bar is damaging his karka, must be that bar is damaging karka, even though we can't machayev in Beis Din, we can machayev in b'dei shamayim and say b'dei shamayim yechantzik. Okay, that itself is a bit of a chiddush, that guy is a bit of a jab, because you could just simply say you're doing issa over haftarah kamocha. It doesn't necessarily mean that in shamayim you have to pay. It just means you've done something wrong and you are doing something wrong. Even the chassanish means you're doing something wrong. Doesn't mean the chassan is just saying you're doing something good. The chassan says you're doing something wrong. It's just even b'dei shamayim, there's no chiyuv money. This is a chiyuv of doing teshuvah, and you have to raffle. Come over, go up to him, give him a nice cake, and pat him on the back, and make him happy and smile, but not actually pay him money. That's what the Chazon Ish is saying. And from this Gemara, which you see, that you have to remove the stones. Why? Because the Maisa, it's your stones, you're responsible for, it's not Hafter at the Mosul. Yeah, there's an Is involved. Who says there's an Is that is actually of money to the Shemaim, but that's the assumption of Birchus Shmuel said. So we have at the end of the day a machlokus between the Chazon Ish and the Birchus Shmuel, where you create a bar, you have a bar which is damaging Kalim Kaka, which is off the hook, is it off the hook even with the Shemaim or not? Machlokus. So therefore, looking at our case, the owner of the house owns that water. So it's therefore his bar, which is now dripping down and damaging. He's negligent in not removing it. It's a bar. Not chayv b'dei adam. Is he chayv b'dei shamayim, the owner of that water? The answer is, seems to be machlokes Chazon Ish and Birchus Shmuel, that the owner of the house is chayv for the damage that his water is causing the neighbor downstairs, b'dei shamayim. The other one's up, because it's a bar. B'dei shamayim, is he chayv? The owner of the house is a machlokes. What about the renter? What is he considered? What is he considered? By opening the tap and causing the secondary water to come out and drip down, what is he considered? He's not the owner of the bar.
Koach Sheni.
What is he?
Mazik for your dime.
It's not Mazik for your dime, because it's Koach Sheni. What would you categorize him? What category would you call him? He is a Groma. Groma, everybody knows, everyone agrees, a Groma is Chayav B'dei Shamayim. If you damage something with a Groma, you're Chayav B'dei Shamayim. So therefore, the logic is like this. A bar which you own, but you didn't actually create, you own. And since you own, that's enough to be considered in the halachas of bar to be considered you're responsible. It's not called groma. Owning a bar which you don't create is not called groma. It's not even groma, but we're still going to get you because you're the owner of the bar and put responsibility on you, but you're off the hook if it's kaka or kala. So the owner of the water, he owns a bar which he didn't create. And he's off the hook because it's Kaka and Kena. Okay? He's off the hook according to the Chazon Ish Tosafot. The person who opened the tap, it's not his bar. And even if it is a bar, it's not just a bar because he's the owner, but he actually caused the damage to be done in an indirect way. He's definitely a groma. He's definitely a groma. A groma is Chayav B'dei Shamayim. So therefore, the owner is a sofik whether he's chayav b'dei shamayim. The renter is for sure chayav b'dei shamayim because he's a groma, and therefore the responsibility in the psak is to write is that we can't machayev either one of you and based him, but the one who should take money out of his pocket to rectify a chayav b'dei shamayim is definitely the renter. So that was a side topic to our whole discussion. It's important for us to hear the definitions of it. So now let's talk about our case of this week.
If you're the owner and the renter doesn't spend the money, so then you really have a shaila.
A suffix
with the entire, so probably just suffix to your wife,
I tell you like this. There is logic over here to say, as kama, that there's somebody which the Torah considers is for sure chayav b'dei shamayim, and kama is your sofik, then you won't be chayav b'dei shamayim in this case. Since there's two parties involved over here, and he's for sure chayav b'dei shamayim, or you, because he's for sure chayav b'dei shamayim, and you are sofik chayav b'dei shamayim, then it's no worse than a Motsi Mechaver Walai type of sofik by me. And by him, he's definitely Chayav B'dei Shamayim. He's for sure Chayav, have to pay B'dei Shamayim. I don't have to worry about his Chayav B'dei Shamayim. There's a logic that he would release me from the Chayav in such a case. So let's talk about this case. Maishu Arkachar, just before Yom Tov. It was. Reuven gets a late phone call just before Yom Tov that he's going to have guests staying by him. Unexpected guests coming up for Yom Tov. Okay? The wife says to Reuven, I've got guests. I haven't made the desserts. I've got enough food to go around, but I haven't got desserts. Go and buy some ice cream from the Makolet. So he goes running down to the Makolet, and since it's late in the day, the Makolet is just locking up. Locking up. Okay. So he says to the owner of the Makolet, I need to buy ice cream. I said, it's too late. I'm locking up. He said, look, can you do this, my favor? It's for Simchas Yom Tov. Just let me in. I'll get the ice cream. After Yom Tov, I will come back and pay for the ice cream. Right? They said, look, do a favor for a friend, medicine for Yom Tov. So Reuven was let into the Makolet. He went into the Makolet, got his ice cream, went back, everything was provided. Lovely Yom Tov. Then he gets room and gets a phone call after Yom Tov from the owner of Makolet. Says, yes. Oh, yes, I remember. I'm going to come and pay you for the ice cream. He said, no, no, you don't understand why I'm phoning you. I'm phoning you. What happened? You went into the Makolet.
And you never locked the door.
And you opened up the freezer. In your rush, you did not close the freezer. I came back after Yom Tov and everything was ruined. Thousands of shekels worth of damage done from the fact that you were negligent in not closing the fridge, the freezer store. Therefore, you have to pay for all that damage, not just the ice cream, 50, 60 shekels. You have to pay thousands of shekels. So now, in a basement situation, does Reuven have to pay for the thousands of shekels of damage he did while he came into the Makolet and he took out the ice cream and didn't close the door, and because of that, things were ruined? What's the Shaila to Chayiv or the Fatur? When you say what's the Shaila, is he Chayiv or what's the Shaila? Of course he's Fatur. What are you saying? What's the Shaila? For sure he's Chayiv. Why is he Chayiv? Define, put yourself into the halakhic worlds of your heads, not the emotional worlds. Yes? Yeah, he's negligent for sure, isn't he? Halakhically, why is he going to be Chayiv over here? What did he do? Imagine seeing the scene in front of you. What did he do?
He didn't close a door that should normally be closed.
Okay. What was that door?
He removed the protection.
He removed a protection to the items inside. Okay, let's read the Gemara which we read last week and read it again. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ein Zayin on the base. Omer Rav Papa. Haman to Kotsi Lachaber, that he ties up his friend, for Oscar Alei Bedika Tamaya, and he breaks down the dam of water, in front of water. Gira Dizihu, that water now that kills that person is his direct action. Umachayev, he's going to be fired for killing the person and for damages to the item. But honey, mini, bekar, mission. That's only if the water that came out was the initial water that killed him or damaged him. Then he's hired for killing or damaging that person by taking the dam down, taking the protection down. Avul bekar, sheni. But if what kills the person or damages the person is not the initial water, it's the secondary water, Grom of Alma is not going to be high predation, Adam is only going to be high predation. In our case, when he left the door open, is that Korvishan or Korvsheni which damaged all those items inside the freezer?
Sounds like Sheni, it took time for the damage.
The initial heat that went in did not damage the item. It was the heat that came out afterwards. Accumulated, yeah. So therefore, that's Kalksheni. It's not the initial water. It's not the exact air which is being kept back by the door which he left open, which now destroys it. No, it's the air which was about actually a kilometer away, which eventually got there, which actually killed it in the end. Therefore, that should be this Gemara. He's up to all. God shame me. Is they also? Now is it so posh at your pipe?
Some other spires, I won't discuss them.
Okay, so we conclude that he's off the hook. Let's move to our next case.
That's it?
No. But we're going to go to our next case in any case and get back to it. This is a special case for that. Next case came to base. We'll get back to the first one. Reuven, different Reuven, lives on the top floor. He's decided summertime's coming, he's not going away on holiday to one of these simmering. Too much money for very little return, 3 or 4 days away, and you spent already 3 or 4 months worth of salary. So what is he going to do to entertain the kids instead? So he's going to, you know what, he's got a roof, he's going to put a very, very big swimming pool up there.
Okay. Here it comes.
Very big swimming pool. Right?
The weight of the water collapses the roof.
Now, he tells his fans for putting the swimming pool up there, he tells one of the neighbors, what I'm going to do, you know what I'm doing for summer, I'm going to need this huge swimming pool, so I'm going to put them. So the neighbor says, who says the building can take that weight? All that water, huge. Who says it can take it? Says, we're not giving you permission to do that. We're not giving you permission to do that until you bring in an engineer that registers and establishes that the building can take the weight of this pool that you're deciding to bring in. Okay? So Reuven said, I don't want to fight with the neighbors. That's a shalom. Yeah, so we get the, he calls in the engineer. Engineer comes, sees the pool which is going to be built, so put over there, looks at the building, and he says, you know what? It can take the weight. We're able to write that down on official paper, and I can show all the neighbors, said yes, I'll be able to do this. So Shimon, the engineer, writes his official report that the swimming pool, it can be supported by the building. And Reuven now goes and shows the neighbors. The neighbor says, okay, we feel relieved and we give the permission. We don't object. Now, to change a fact of the story, well, to add a fact to the story, the pool was already up with water in when the engineer came. Reuven hadn't told the neighbors that he already put it up. He just was saying, I had this pool idea, and they started getting all worried. He didn't actually inform them, and you know what's already up. So when the engineer came, he saw the pool up, he saw all the contents, and he still gave the report that is all beseda, and Reuven breathed a sigh of relief that he wouldn't have to empty the water and get rid of it. But what happened? The engineer was wrong. The engineer was wrong, and it started to crack, make cracks in the building. He couldn't support such weight, and the building neighbors started to realize something happening, and they investigated and said, what? Obviously we need a second opinion. So they called the area came down with their engineers, and they said, yes, this building cannot take the weight of such a thing. It's because of the pool. Get rid of this pool. It's extremely dangerous. You've damaged now the building. So now in Basin, the neighbors, Reuven and the engineer. And the question is, who has to pay, if anyone has to pay, for the damage which was done to the building?
Engineer. He's a professional.
Besides the concept of professional liability. Yeah. Which we said one of our first shirim as a professional in the professional field takes on liability even for grommers, which normally people don't do, like lawyers and doctors do that kind of thing. So take that out of the equation. Not so sure that in the field of engineering they take such responsibility.
That's where they have the ring.
Yeah. So therefore, we have to now, without that theory, look at it. Is this Brahmas? Is this Mazik Biadayim's over here? Who's going to be responsible over here?
Telecom Shini, over time, with weight. That's the building.
It's not the first time. first drop of water, I suppose.
Let's.
We have the case of the sack that you see on the floor.
Yes.
And that constant pressure the whole time, and eventually broke.
Okay. Let's see. Is Reuben an onus? Reuben, who put the pool over there, is he an onus?
Yes, I could be honest. He did it be a dime before he got the fella
okay.
down.
That everyone agrees, if it would have been removed at the stage where the engineer Shimon came in, it would have not damaged the building. So therefore, is Reuben an onus, the fact that damage was done to the building in the end?
Yeah.
Why is he an onus?
He put it there for negligence, but then he brought an engineer in, which everyone agreed you can rely on, because that's, they said, if the engineer gives the go-ahead, we are happy and fine with it. And the engineer, even though the evidence after the fact, actually said it was okay. Is Reuben therefore considered an onus or not?
Yes.
She lost her bonus. Yeah. She lost her bonus. She has a bonus. It's an onus. So well, therefore... Well, yeah?
Depends how you pass it, whether it's considered onus or...
That's only by Hilchus Shon. Not Hilchus Mazik. Hilchus Mazik, we don't have such a... So therefore, he's an onus. So now
but
we
he
have
owns the water and owns the pool.
Owns the water, owns the pool, but he's an onus. It's like the scenario is my pipe's leaking for years and I never knew about it. I'm an onus. I'm only responsible after I know about it and I'm supposed to remove it and then negligence. Let's now analyze Shimon. Shimon the engineer. Is he responsible for the damage to the building according to Hilchus Mazik? Or is he only a glomer? What did exactly he do?
The engineer.
The engineer. What
he gave an opinion, which
and
said.
And what does that opinion mean?
I don't know what he did.
What was the result of that opinion?
The pool was left there.
The pool was left there. Okay, so let's try and dumb it to this case in the Sanhedrin. Also over there, the same Gemara, a bit later on.
Number 3b?
Number 4.
4. Gimel.
The Gemara is talking about... The Gemara is talking about a case where somebody goes for a nice swim in the pool and as he's underwater it says you comes along Reuven and covers the pool over that he can't get out of the water. You put the covering over the person as he's in the water or is in the heat, like you lock the door of somebody in the sauna. Somebody goes into the sauna, you lock the door. And because he locked the door, he can't get out of the mess that he's in. And he mace and he dies. Chayiv. He's chayiv for killing that person. Well, what did he do? All he did was lock the door. On the Shmuel to Omer Klah, because it's a pasuk we learn this out from. Oh, Be'eva, talking about when you kill somebody, it says, I do Be'eva, the trickery with Chokma, the Rabbis El Sahamet Samson, to say that you're hired if you miss Samson. What's the Samson? It means that somebody's in a position, and you keep him in that position, and because you keep him in that position, he dies, you're considered as if you killed him. Keeping somebody in the position is considered as if you killed him. Says the Gemara and Mefarshim and Pesukei Halacha, not only by Chiyuv Misa is that true, that somebody you keep in the position that he dies, but even if you damage somebody, or item somebody's animal by keeping him in the position and the animal dies because of that, you're hired to pay for damages.
The engineer didn't make him stay.
So therefore, we see from here that even though you didn't put him there, even though you did not put him there, you just kept him there, you're hired for that action of keeping him there.
The engineer didn't make him keep it up. He said, you can keep it up.
No,
in the case of the Gemara, he's
making it up. Everyone knows.
He said, it's safe for you to keep it up.
Right. Here he made it.
He
forced him underwater.
He said to him very clearly. Very understood. The neighbors say, I can only have the pool, which I agree with them, if I get an engineer. Go ahead. You say, go ahead, it stays. You don't say, go ahead, it goes. He said, go ahead. So therefore, he's keeping it, the pool grant.
But he's not a matzamtzim.
We're keeping it, the pool grant.
He's not a matzamtzim.
Why is he not a matzamtzim?
Because what you've described matzamtzim is, there's a guy who is in a certain position. Somebody else comes along and does not allow him to change that position.
So this is Engelkorn, not
the engineer is not a matzamtzim.
I am not allowing him. He realized over here, there's no way that I am definitely keep this pool. Will definitely stay here if you go ahead and say the word go ahead.
Because
like you're putting
because
the cover.
Because
on the
Baal HaPool wants it to stay there. Not well, because the engineer wants it to stay
that's
there.
That's the facts before. That's what it's all talking on. You know that's all at the bottom. You tick, it stays. It cross, it goes. You are the deciding factor.
But you're not forcing
whether,
it.
You're
not forcing it.
That's not by force.
That's by force.
What's it? Is it force?
Yes.
There's no force there.
What's
allowing
this?
Someone is not forcing someone. You're allowing him.
They're not just allowing. You're not asking you for your expert's opinion and then I make my decision.
It's what? I'm not asking you for his permission.
Let me bring you a Gemara. Mara din el shulchan. I come to you, Mr. Money Changer, you're expert in money. Is this good money or fake money? If it's good money, I accept it for Reuven and he's off the hook for debt. If it's bad money, I'm not accepting it, he still owes me money. You decide, good or bad. Says the Gemara, you make the wrong decision, you say it's good. The one who has to pay is called the Shulchani. Because I'm not just asking for advice and then I'll make the decision. You're making the decision. You're the one who does it. That's called Dami of Mitzamtzim.
That's because he's professional.
Yes. He also, engineer. You decide. If it, you, your decision, you're
reason.
The final
that's
line. You're the buck stops for you. If you say yes.
That's not because he forced him into doing it like him.
Dami of Mitzamtzim. Dami of Mitzamtzim.
The reason with the money change, the reason here are two different reasons.
Right? Gami of Masas.
But, and by the same logic, the reason, because he's an expert, not because of this reason, even if he hadn't put it there before, it wouldn't be any difference. And then he put it there, it would be the same thing.
That's not good. That's not called Masamsa.
No, it's this called Masamsa.
That's his Masamsa. Keeping it there.
He's not keeping it.
Yeah, he's keeping the pool. His words are keeping it there. His words are like the cover.
Not by force, it's professional opinion.
Okay. So, let's ask a more basic question. Why is the Gemara saying you're chayv for covering the swimming pool? What killed the person? As soon as the pool was covered, he died. How did the person die?
He couldn't get out. He was stuck in the water.
So therefore, what happened?
Parshini, the water.
Parshini of the water. The water, after a bit of time, killed him. So, I don't understand. Simple question.
I don't understand Parshini anyway.
Simple question. You tie somebody up in front of a dam. You break down the dam. The initial water doesn't kill him. The second jury will come about, you're off the hook. Here, I didn't put him in the pool. He put himself in the pool.
And you had no knowledge he was there.
I cover
no
him up.
Whatsoever.
I cover him up. And because I cover him up, he starts to run out of oxygen. And the secondary water comes in, not the water around his mouth that comes in, it's the other water that comes around his mouth. There you're chayv. Even so much, you're chayv misa for that. What's the difference between the dam case, where you're chayv misa, and in this case, you're chayv misa?
In this case, you're supposed to be doing it purposely or you didn't do it purposely?
Every, doesn't make a difference. You did it purposely. Both cases, you did purposely. Both cases, you did purposely. One is Goma, one you're chayv misa. If anything, the dam is even worse than the case of covering the pool.
Because he didn't purposely, it wasn't as bad as each other.
Yeah, I'm just saying it was in Londres.
If he's constantly holding it down, that's all the coefficient. When some water is swallowed, the next water is still holding it down. So it's also coefficient. It's all coefficient. It's all coefficient. And then you pull out the thing, and then it happens by itself. You're not pulling, you're not doing anything any longer. Here you're holding that the entire time, so it's all by coefficient.
Okay, we're going to explain how you say it. It's good what you're saying. Let us explain with a kasha of the stipler. What he says. Stipler, Kol Sheni off the hook. I don't understand. Stipler asks, next tomorrow, Mokum.
Six.
Number five. Ki yiftach ishpa, or ki yichrach ishpa. You can, two ways you can be chayv for making a hole. Either you dig a hole, or you open up a hole. There's a cover on the ball, the hole, and you open it up. Then you're chayv for making a ball. Your chayv is the shor chamor fulse. Shemachase got it. It was covered. Was it? You didn't dig it. Somebody else dug it. Somebody else covered it. You came along. All you did is open up the hole. Your chayv is considered your ball. Says the stipler. I don't understand. But you open up the ball. Yeah. And no one falls in immediately. So therefore, it takes time for somebody who goes there and actually falls in eventually. You're taking a protection away. That's no worse than knocking down the dam. That's a protection. And somebody falls in eventually. So that's no worse than Kol Sheni. So why are you fighting for ball? You didn't make this ball. That was your question last week. Stipler's question. So Stipler answers, which will answer our case, our question about the assumption. It says like this. You're analyzing it wrong. We want to know, what did your action do initially? What did it do? So therefore, as soon as you take the cover away from the ball, what did it do?
It created
part of a ball, or on the way to being a bar, or did it create immediately a bar? It created immediately a bar, so therefore it had a direct effect. Direct! As soon as you removed the cover, you, cognition, straight away created something which was dangerous. That's called cognition, not cognition. Okay, somebody else fell in it later on. But the dechiyev is because you dug the bar. Why is it called you dug the bar? Because straight away you took over the cover. Immediately the whole bar was completed by you removing the cover. It didn't take stages to do the bar. But here also, when somebody's in the water, underneath the water, and now you put the cover on top, what have you done by doing that? What have you done by doing that? You have made... What have you made? A person is a dead person. It just takes time to die. You have... No way is he going to be able to live. So soon as you put the cover on it, he's immediately dead. Just takes time. You've killed him. You've done an injury to him, which just will take time. You took away the air. Yeah? You cover, like, ki'ilu, you cover somebody's mouth with your hand. What have you done? Taken away his air. A person without air is dead. Just, he takes time to die. That's what you've done by covering. You immediately take away his air. Therefore, he's dead already. Just, it'll take a few minutes before you physically, he disappears. So therefore, that's called coercion as well. So therefore, we're holding at this stage that you're going to be hired the engineer, because he's Mesamsen in Gami. He is making a fact that says, keep this here, which you are going to take because he's an expert like the Shulchani. So therefore he is keeping the swimming pool there with his mouth, which is keeping the damage over there, which is the substance he's going to be tied on. But in the case of the ice cream, that's not a case, that's a case of the dam. That takes the initial heat next to the door, doesn't damage, it's the secondary heat, and therefore you're going to be put on the ice cream and hired the engineer on the swimming pool. We'll leave off with number six, which is not necessarily the bottom line, but it's
Gishmak.
Yes.
That's the word you're looking for.
Says the Choshev Mishpat in Simen Shin Pei Gimel. Hakovesh behemas chavera b'mayim. The animal's in the water, and you cover the water with a cover. O shenicha b'chama b'samson le'amokim, or it's in the sun, and now you prevent him from moving from that position. Kadesh lo titzisal ad shetahagas achama, until now he dies because he's underneath the water. In that case, mamish of something, just in Hilchus damages, says the Shulchan Aruch, chayiv. Right, okay. The Chiddush is the Ramah. The Ramah adds three words. Davka, she'ochas b'yodim. Only if you're holding him down with your hands. Avasoga le'hadelus. But if all you do is lock the door, shlo'teitzeh, that he can't come out of the water. Yesh omim to potter mite odom. The opinion of the Rosh would be, in such a case, since you're not touching him, you're not chayav mite odom, only chayav mite shamayim.
So how in the world can it be that an animal which has no das and can't save itself, if you are not to be a dying, you're going to be potter, but if you close the lid on a swing pool where there's a person who has a sense of suffering.
Says the Vilna Gaon. Says the Vilna Gaon over there. You know what? The Rosh held that even in the case of the Gemara and Sanhedrin, which is talking about a human being, you're also not chai for there for just putting the cover on top of him. You have to hold him down to be chai. There are shittas of the Rosh and the Ramad who bring him down, is that the Shamsun in itself is not chayv unless you're actually holding him down physically, not just preventing him coming out. If so, you have to hold him down, physically hold him down, according to the Ramad and the Rosh, to be chayv. Then in our case of the ice cream, at the case of the swimming pool, yes, he may have caused it to, like so to be, put the cover on the swimming pool that it can't be removed by giving his stamp of approval. But he definitely wasn't holding it down so it stays there with his own hands until it damages. And since he wasn't definitely holding it down with his own hands until it damages, then according to the Raman and Rosh, you would not have the din of the substance applicable, and you wouldn't be chayev the engineer to pay under those circumstances. So therefore, at this stage, we're halting. In respect to the swimming pool, he's off the hook, which is what stays, the halacha. And the swimming, and in respect to the ice cream, he's for sure off the hook. Because that's Koch Sheni, not even the substance, that's the secondary. Next week, we'll see if things slightly change.
Is the ice cream staying, though?
No. <ice cream. laughs> Now he's putter, because he didn't hold
the
down.
He didn't hold
the pull down for your dying.
According to the cover,
yes.
The animal itself, you can't hold to the shape. In the first 5 minutes.
I did a job like that.
The animal knows that in the sun all the time. What? The first 5 minutes is
I reinforced the ceiling where I saw
it. Eventually, in the sun for 2 hours,
we also need to question what you do the next week. How does it help us understand? So if I understand, you can hide from the sun.
I don't think that's the substance, I think that's the shortcut shape.